Good morning, Asbury. Let's stand and worship together this morning.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. And I was breathing but not alive. And all my failures I tried to hide. And it was my tomb until I met you. You called my name
and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Now your mercy has saved my soul. And your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, the old made new. Jesus, when I met you, oh, you called my name.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. My eyes are future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name,
welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see you all on this still cold but lovely spring day. Good to have all of you, our guests, our members. We just want to make sure that you feel welcome today. And if you would help us do that for you, be sure and sign the attendance register that will be coming to you. And if you're a first-time guest and living in the Little Rock area, you will be greeted with a loaf of bread. So be sure and give us your address, your street address, so we can do that for you. I've got a lot of things coming up. Garage sale, 'tis the season to spring clean your home. And so if this coming week, you have a time to do that. They are accepting clothes and nice items for the garage sale. And this is for benefiting our children's ministries, ACCDC, and children's ministry here at Asbury as well. So be sure and bring your donations this week, and that would be very, very helpful. We do have our faith family dinners this coming Wednesday, and you'll see the times there, 5:45 to 6:30, and the prices, and you're going to enjoy some chicken spaghetti this week. Traveler's Game, again, Children's Ministry and ACCDC are partnering to offer this event for anybody that wants to participate, and you can see what all that you get for your $35 price there for a day full of fun there for the game. And I've also been asked to announce that next Sunday is Stone Soup. So that'll be from 1:30 to 4. And if you're unfamiliar with that, that is a feeding ministry to the homeless. And it meets at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church downtown. So Google that address up, won't you, and come and join us for some time. Now let's stand and greet one another in the peace of Christ.
So as you guys find your seats, we can have our kiddos come on up here for some children's moments.
Good morning. Let's try that again. Okay. Do you know who or what we're celebrating this morning? Always Jesus. Always. Above everything else. But we're celebrating United Methodist Women. Anybody's mom a United Methodist woman? We kind of all are, aren't we? No. Let me get my light on here. It's an organization called United Methodist Women, and here's the story of how we were formed. Over 150 years ago, there were a few women in a small Methodist church in Massachusetts who began to notice that the men of the church were not offering any help to the poor widows and children of the village. Many men in the village were fishermen and had been lost at sea. The church ladies decided to do something for these poor mothers and children. They told their husbands, men of the church, that they planned to meet at the church to form an aid society. Guess what happened when the ladies came to the meeting? Can you guess? No, the doors were locked. The men had locked the doors, and the women couldn't get in. When the men came home that night, what do you think the women asked them or said to them? Why did you lock the doors? We're trying to do some good work for the widows and the orphans. So while the ladies met anyway and formed that aid society, and other Methodist churches formed societies to help the poor. Today we call ourselves United Methodist Women and are the largest organization of Christian women in the world, 800,000 women. This is our motto here at Asbury, and I'm supposed to have a poster that says the words on it that you could read it, but I don't have a poster. And it says, it's not women's work, it's God's work. Can we all say that? It, does it say it up there? It's not women's work, it's God's work. Good job. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the ladies who do your work in the world to help people live better lives. Amen.
Stand and continue our worship together. We serve a God who is truly mighty to save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, hope of a nation.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Oh, now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Amen. Yeah. I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. Feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come. Feel it in my bones, you're about to move. feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So like the rain, come drench us in love. And let your glory rush in like a flood. And we are fixed on this one thing, to know your goodness and see your glory. We're transformed by this one thing, to know your presence and see. I can see it now, your kingdom come. I can hear it now, the sounds of heaven. You said that if we ask, we'll receive. So we are asking for the greater measure. It's like the rain come drench us in love. And let your power. Our prayer this morning. Come and bow on through. Spirit, move. Oh, we're ready for you to come and blow on through. Come and do. Oh, what I.
As always, we encourage you to look at our prayer list here that we have at Asbury, and there are so many others, no doubt, that you are praying for that are on your hearts, but let us remember to lift up those members and beyond in our church family. Let us pray. Most gracious God, as we continue in this season known as Eastertide, we have not forgotten the cross. We are no longer in its shadow, but we are in its light. But just like winter wants to seem to hang on, we find ourselves hanging on to the past. Past hurts, the past unfortunate words said, or past unfortunate thoughts. We find ourselves pining away for days when we were younger, perhaps days when we were not so held with responsibility. We find ourselves hanging on to past wounds, past glory days. And yet the cross, with its glory and its light, says, look up and look forward. For I have risen and I have given you new life. The old has passed away and the new has come. Embrace it, enjoy it, and act upon it. So Jesus, thank you for everything, so much of which we cannot begin to articulate, that you endured for us. And Jesus, thank you for devoting your energy now to guiding us and leading us, to moving us into the forward, to moving us into the blessings, service, sacrifice, in the present, which leads to a grand future of your kingdom. So we come today with a very important part, the confession of our sins. Forgive us when we want to rush to the glory, when we want to rush to the goodness and the happiness and the joy, and forget to pause and remember how we've saddened you with our sin. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us, we pray. Delight us in your grace, that we may move forward and serve you more faithfully. Be with this world. Our heart aches at the atrocities, and our prayers always hope that wars will cease and peace will reign. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with each and every one, that as we focus upon the light, that we bask in your glory, that we feel and function in your peace. We pray this prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we know that spring is coming and summer will be right behind it, let us continue to be faithful in our giving, even when we take our breaks, for God never takes a break from us as he grows his kingdom through our gifts. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, as always, to take this opportunity to give unto you, knowing that it is just a semblance of the many blessings you have poured out upon us. Take these gifts, O God. We know that you will use them for your glory and to bring other people to know Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in his holy name. Amen.
Above all nature and all created things.
treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucify me on the stone. You live to die, rejected. Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you had us on your mind all along, that before the beginning of time, you had a plan to redeem us, to draw us close to you, and to have us in your presence. We are so grateful that we can meet with you here, that we can celebrate your death, and Lord, your resurrection, and that we live in that daily. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Asbury, it's my delight today to share with you a wonderful lady in United Methodism that has been traveling, bearing the message of Jesus Christ. And Nikki is from Little Rock here, and she has been going to countries of Cuba and Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, and we're going to hear about those wonderful places. And the United Methodist connection is very strong. Apparently, we met some way over 25 years ago because of a mutual acquaintance, her relative and a dear friend in one of the first churches I served. And so she comes today to share with her sister church in the United Methodist Connection as she offers us some wonderful experience and a delight in Scripture as she presents it to us. So will you join me now in welcoming on this United Methodist Sunday, Nikki Fullerton.
Bendiciones. Bendiciones.
That's
that's the Christian Cuban greeting in Cuba. It means blessings. And you always get that from Cubans along with some holy kisses. And Cuba's one of the countries I have spent a lot of time in the past few years. Now, I'm really out of my comfort zone up here. Preaching is not my gift. I can't sing either, so I have so much admiration for the praise band. I have no musical talents, and I guess this is why I've ended up using traveling and talking is my spiritual gift. In the singing, I will say, though, that in Cuba, the music is so loud, and they sing some that I can sing, and no one can hear me, so it's nice. And I even sing in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, so... But I have lots of admiration for the praise band here. Okay, now I'm out of my comfort zone up here, so give me some grace with this. And I've got several people to give me a time because I do talk too much. And I've got a script because I do want to say the most important things before we run out of time. And I'm a rambler, and so I'm going to try to stick to my script, but I won't. But I will never judge anyone else again for reading their script. So let's see, I taught middle school for 30 years, and I subbed at Little Rock Central High for 5 years, so I think I can do this. All right, and Holy Spirit, tame my tongue, and whatever I do say is what you're supposed to hear today. I do believe that. Now, early on in this mission work, I learned from a mentor that other people will never care as much about your mission as you do, and that's fair. But I'm delighted today because usually I have to give an elevator speech before their eyes glaze over. So today I have a captive audience. And thank you for inviting me here to speak today. And I'm proud to represent the United Methodist women. And yes, as Pastor Mary said, we do have a fabulous United Methodist connection. I have friends all over the world now through the United Methodist Church. And United Methodist women, I had said in my script that we don't do enough to teach and tell others about what an organization it is. I had never heard that story that she's told today. So that's great that we're learning about United Methodist Women and what they do. Okay, let me start from the beginning about why I did this. First, my youngest daughter insisted on being an exchange student in France her junior year. And I tried to talk her out of it. I was not ready to be alone, but this is what she was going to do. And I love to travel. It was international travel. It was my passion. As well as volunteering. I love service work. It's my hobby. It's an addiction. So I decided that I would invoke, I knew I could visit her the second semester, and I would invoke Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord, do it in Jesus' name, and I would try to find a service opportunity when I visited her. It's a long flight, costs a lot of money, I'll stay a while. And I went, and all I did was Google United Methodist Church. I trusted United Methodist Church. There's a lot of missions out there. It's become even an industry, and some of it's kind of scary, and we're not even helping, maybe hurting. So I wanted to do it through the United Methodist Church, and I found this volunteer and mission program. They were 2 months to 2 years, and there was a training I could go to. Now, I work in the summer, but there was a training. This was the first of a lot of little miracles that made all this work. And I could go to this training in Louisiana, and I asked them if I signed up to go to Eastern Europe. I had an intrigue with Eastern Europe because I was in Germany 10 days after the Berlin Wall fell. And we saw those people crossing the borders. It was surreal. The train doors would open, and there would just be these people stepping out of a time warp with this haunted look, if you can imagine, stepping 45 years into in time, and that stuck with me all those years, and I wanted to go there. Well, of all things, they assigned me the Czech Republic, which was the country that was over that border, and I've spent months for 5 years now, several months a year, sometimes twice a year, in a little South Bohemian town, only 20 kilometers from the German border. But let me get back to my script here. At this training, I was just Googling accidentally. And I have to give Google, I have to give United Methodist Church a lot of credit here. Google, I don't know how this would have all happened without Google. And Facebook, there's amazing things and connections that happen on Facebook. But I'm Googling and accidentally find that there are short-term missions to Cuba. And Louisiana was going to Cuba in October. And I was like, no, I don't want to go to Cuba. No. But then I did. And then so it began. I mean, it's almost like there's no turning back. Now, I'd be dishonest if I didn't tell you at this point that My husband died in 2007, almost 11 years ago, and this allowed me to retire, just more miracles. And so I wouldn't be doing this if he hadn't died. I would be going to work like most of you are tomorrow. And I knew that I wanted something good to come of this. I mean, after he died, so many things fell in our favor. And I was so grateful for that, and I wanted to give back, you know, to whom much is given. I knew that I wanted to give something back to make something good come of that. And, you know, there's that old lemon, make lemonade out of lemons. I'm talking too fast. This is what they tell me in the Czech Republic. Slow down. What I ended up doing there is teaching English. Slow down, slow down. Okay, so we can make stepping stones out of stumbling blocks, and we can make lemonade out of lemons, but I want to take that up just another notch here. From James, count it all joy whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces some fabulous fruit. Now, are you counting your trials as pure joy? This series of things that happened after my husband died has certainly strengthened my faith, because things just kept going my way. And I've learned to discern God's will, not my will. And what I've discovered, if I'm working, trying to force something to happen, and there are roadblocks, and it's just not happening, that's probably not God's will. That's probably my will. And this is like exercising. The more you do it, the more you step out in faith, and the more you learn to listen, the easier it gets. And when I do my small part, things just flow into place, and I know that that's God's will. And this isn't what our society teaches us, that we just need to try harder, and you can do anything. But sometimes God's plan isn't our plan. But he does have a way that's much better. That's been my experience, and a favorite line of poetry of mine is from Elizabeth Barrett Browning, God's plans put man's grandest dreams to shame. And that has been my experience these past few years. Something else I was told early in mission by a mentor was that your mission is rarely what you thought it would be. And that's been so true. One example is all the things I thought I would do in the Czech Republic, I've done in Cuba instead. And you'll see pictures. Oh, that's one of my favorite pictures from the Czech Republic. That's a class. They made that huge snow heart and entered this essay about someone who had done something extraordinary. This is how much they appreciate me coming there and helping them in their English classes. And then there's Cuba. So the blessings just kept coming. Now, everything wasn't always perfect. Things don't go perfectly, and I've made some, I don't call them mistakes. I call them lessons. So I have a little word game, a little mind game that I play called Lessons or Blessings. I view everything is a lesson or a blessing. What is God trying to teach me in this lesson? Or I just enjoy the blessings. Or as they say in Cuba, just wait for the blessing. And I led six missions to Cuba. And talk about being out of your comfort zone or not your calling. I would have never thought I never wanted to be a leader. But this just happened. And, you know, there's that cheesy saying that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I led six missions, and there were some lessons to be learned there. When you spend 12 months planning with a trip to a foreign country with 12 people that you don't know, and you spend 12 days there eating, sleeping, working, worshiping with them, that can teach you some lessons in tolerance and patience. But what lessons are you learning from adversity? Okay, so my faith and my character has been strengthened by all these events, but I want to take that even further and make it not about me. What if we give our pain a purpose? From Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Now remember in John, when the disciples asked Jesus why the man was born blind, did his parents sin or did he sin? How did Jesus answer? So that the works of God might be displayed. So could God's works be displayed in our challenges? From Isaiah 48:10, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Is our suffering to display God's glory? Now I'm starting to sound like the comedian John Crist in his Bible verse lady routine. No one in the early service had heard of John Crist. Any of you young people? Okay, all right. So he does these routines, these satires about Christianity. Now, have you thought about other people being strengthened by your struggles? And we all have struggles, large or small. What struggles do you have that you can use for God's glory? Can your challenges glorify God? And I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, are you using your struggles for God's glory? I don't have a neighbor. God uses many things to display his glory. Stars and sunsets, people and problems, and history and nations. So this is a good time to talk about Cuba, their struggles. I don't know what you know about or read about Cuba, but I learned early on that we don't talk about politics in mission. That's a good rule. And quickly, economy and history becomes politics, and there's this in the time or place. But I'm going to say just a couple of things. One, what you've read and about Cuba is what the government wanted you to read. And I will say that their economy and their infrastructure is terribly broken. Their families are scattered all over. And family's very important to them. But their spirit's not broken. And what an inspiration. And how they've used their struggles for God's glory. They're incredibly inventive and resourceful and creative survivors and improvisers. I mean, they have to be. They're tough, resilient, hopeful, determined, and it defies all logic, the survival of the Cuban people. But they bear it with a grace and dignity that is so admirable. When I came back from there in October 2012, I was just speechless. And people would ask me about Cuba, and they want to hear about the cars and the cigars. And the first thing I said was, I saw heaven. And that was real awkward. That, like, shut down the conversation. So what I've learned to say is I saw God's glory. And I think the heaven part came from in their worship is just with abandon. This is Palm Sunday. They don't have racism. And so you've just got all colors and all ages, and the worships are just glorious. Their hospitality, and they're so grateful for everything. And the advantages, okay, they don't have air conditioning. So that means their doors and their windows are open, and there's just always, you know, the people on the street are sticking their head in the church windows. You know, talk about open doors. They have open windows. But let me tell you a little bit about the mission to Cuba. Now, one thing I do need to back up and say is that another fabulous thing about the United Methodist Church and going with their missions is that I'm brave, and I've got God with me, but I wouldn't get on a plane and fly to a foreign country and have a pastor that doesn't speak English pick me up, you know, if it were not for the Methodist Church. So I'm forever grateful for the Methodist Church that allows these things to happen. And they're doing mission well, too. You know, I said there's some mission out there that's not working. It's not the best thing, but the United Methodist Church does mission well. The main thing about mission is sharing God's love, building Christian relationships, and growing in our discipleship. That's always the number one, two, three things about mission. But now for Cuba, the next most important thing is taking them things. They can't get things. And taking support, which is a code word for money. So we take construction supplies. Now, who would have ever thought I would be on a construction mission? I mean, but they give jobs for everybody. And we're taking them the supplies, and we're building relationships and sharing with them. And it means a lot to them. And this is where my talking gift has come in. I'm saying it's my spiritual gift, because in the Czech Republic, they want to hear people speak English. And in Cuba, they are on lockdown there, and they're just happy to have someone. They're very gregarious, and this is the church I spend the most time in. That's a church service, and it's packed like that at least five times a week for several hours. But these construction missions for me have evolved as I met people, and I do children's ministry, which was always my favorite thing, and I'm a Bible school junkie. I go there and do Bible school, found that niche there was crafts, my favorite thing. They can sing and dance and preach and pray, but they don't have things. They didn't grow up in church. They don't have Pinterest, so I'm able to go there and do crafts with the children and with the women. I've been able to attend their women's conference, their national women's conference. I've attended twice, which is glorious. A couple of unusual things I've done in mission. We have had a wedding dress ministry. They don't have wedding dresses. Oops, I'm to 5 minutes, so I've got to move on. I brought back 30,000 Japanese yen. I've edited papers for a Cuban pastor at Drew Seminary, which is the closest I'll ever get to seminary. So I'll be going back in August for Bible school, but let's move on. The church is there. I call the services Broadway. I'm a big musical theater fan. They rival Broadway musicals. And there's a little rock concert and pep rally thrown in there, even with the mosh pit. And they seriously body surf the men, not the women. Dancing, they have beautiful dance teams, but then there's just impromptu dancing. And then they have services and other events every day. This is the beauty of not having all the distractions we have here. Church and Jesus is the main thing in their life. But let me move on to Czech Republic, because I'm running out of time. There could not be a more opposite country. Little did I know when I went that it's the most atheist agnostic country in Europe. There's four people in my town that go to the Methodist church. There's about a country of 8 million. There's about 15 small Methodist churches. And actually, I'll breeze through this part because I just had to, the church part was just beyond me, but I kept going. I love this little town and I love being treated like a queen because I speak English. And I made very good friends there, and I work volunteer in the schools. I have private lessons. I'm in 6 schools now. And sometimes we have to wait for the miracle, because this is what happened last October. Just on a whim, I went to a mission summit in Prague. It was United Methodist Church, the Eastern Europe, and the Balkans. And even though I just couldn't figure out what was going on with the Methodist Church in the Czech Republic, I thought, I'm just going to go see if what these other countries are like. And they're friendly, they're young, same as Cuba. The Christians are young in these countries. And the Bulgarians charmed me right away and invited me to visit. And I looked at my calendar flights, and I really had said I was tired. I thought surely I didn't have room in my heart for another country. Because I'm going to tell you, when you leave these countries and come back home, you know, that's kind of the price you pay. It's difficult. It can take a toll. But I was tired. I love Little Rock. I thought, you know, I want to stay home some more. But, you know, these Bulgarian pastors invited me to visit. I did. And now I'm committed to working with them. And here was one of the most interesting things that happened in Bulgaria. Now, why Bulgaria, though? Let me just tell you a little bit about that country. And I learned so much history and geography doing this. Now, you all may have learned it in school and in textbooks, but I was probably talking when the teacher was teaching that, because I've got to go there. But Bulgaria is down at the bottom of Christianity, and it's been a political pawn. It's had a dark history. And the first missionaries in the late 1800s, it's an Orthodox country. Guess what denomination? Translated the Bible into Bulgarian and held the first services in Bulgarian, the Methodist. And so they grew some churches there, and then along came communism, and wow. But so they've been slowly regaining their churches. You know, when communism comes along, same thing happened in Cuba. This is politics, sorry, history, but they imprison the pastors, and they can even be, they're murdered, imprisoned, and they confiscate the churches. So now the Methodists in Bulgaria are getting their churches back. They feel isolated. The mission here, I'm going to tell you, is encouraging. They feel isolated in this Orthodox country, and they've had the most post-communist struggles Bulgaria has. They've had a difficult time recovering. They even have some corruption in the government. So I'm committed to going back there and working with them. I'm going to go back this summer, and I'm excited. I think I'll spend Easter there with them next year. But here's the cool thing about Bulgaria. While I'm visiting these countries, they're telling me, we have an American pastor. She was Church of the Nazarene, but she's marrying a Bulgarian pastor, and she's going to transfer her credentials. And I'm like, okay, where is she from? Because for them, America is just this big country, and there's California, New York, and in the middle is Texas. And I have actually learned to say I'm above Texas, because that's they didn't know Arkansas.
But the last time in Bulgaria, they look it up, they look on Facebook, and they go, she's from Arkansas. And I'm like, no way. And she was visiting her parents here just as I returned from Europe. So I got to take her, return some hospitality, take her to meet the bishop, some others. So one of five ordained pastors in the United Methodist Church in Bulgaria, and she just got this fully transferred at their annual conference a few weeks ago, is a lady from Arkansas. And so that just kind of sealed the deal for me. So I'm excited to work with Bulgaria, and I will give you one last Bible verse. You must be, James 1:22, you must be doers of the word and not only hearers. And my challenge for you is through trials, troubles, and struggles, yours and mine, large or small, or anything in between, count it all joy, and whatever you do, may God in all his glory be seen. Amen.
As we welcome the praise team forward, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for those who engage and embrace missions such as Nikki, and we pray that so many that are serving Jesus Christ as missionaries throughout the world are blessed as they carry the gospel. Lord, we know it's a dangerous thing, and we know that it takes courage, but we know that your presence fills them and never leaves them as they carry the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world. So, Father, we just ask your blessings upon these special persons whom you have called to share the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ to all. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. As we stand and prepare to sing our last song today, as always, we invite anyone who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members to come forward and to join our church. And as always, the prayer wells are open as well for your prayers.
Head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.
Sing it out, Asbury.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Sing out your name.
Your name, your name. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Yeah.
Oh, you're resurrecting me. Oh, yeah. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave.
Heard the good news. It's all around the world. You are renewed in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Go forward in that renewal and share the love of Christ with all. Amen.